porque siempre la afición se estremece con pasión cuando quedas entre todos campeón. Y se ve frente al balón a un equipo de verdad que esta tarde de ambiente llenará.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Partido a Partido podcast, the English speaking podcast about all things Atleti. Welcome to a special episode as we have a special guest with us. Please welcome Michael. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm very good. It's a pleasure to be on here. I'm very, very excited. I've been listening to you guys for a good few months of weeks now, and it's great to be on here. You know, the best English-speaking Atleti podcast, you know. And there's a lot to talk about for Let's Go as well, so let's get to it, I reckon.
Thanks a lot for coming today. We're very excited to have you on. And as always, Emmanuel is here with me. How are you doing, Emmanuel?
And I'm doing good at just a week now. We just beat Barca last week and kept a clean sheet. And today is also Happy Naruto's Day, so it's been a great day for me.
Brilliant. So you just mentioned the Barcelona game. A 2-0 win in the Wanda Metropolitano, a fantastic atmosphere with the fans back, the stadium back to 100% capacity. Can you tell us about the game, Emmanuel?
Well, it was really a great game for Atleti, especially in the first half. And Atleti started the game brilliantly. They high-pressed Barcelona for the first 2 minutes and were successful in doing that, given Ter Stegen's passes were not accurate. But Barca found a way to bypass that, and Atleti dropped deep a bit. But overall, Atleti really did well in that first half. They defended brilliantly, chose the moments to attack, and were brave in possession in certain moments. And what really caught the eye, I'm sure, for everybody who watched the game was Thomas Lemar's movement, where there was Joao Felix moments of magic and the rest. But Lemar's movement was really great. I think going to the game, Cholo had played with Felix, given Felix had to play and put players out of position. And the interior midfielders, which in that game were Lemar and Rodrigo De Paul, were to feed into those spaces. And in the earlier on in the game, Lemar actually started on the right, and around the second minute, there was a link-up with Suarez, which, in my opinion, Suarez would have played a better pass. That could have been the first chance of the game. But going on, I think Lemar really did well in that his movements were brilliant. If you read Captain Guardiola's newsletter, if you don't know him, you follow him on Twitter, I think you would see he talked about Atleti applying the 10-man concept, in which, well, if you are like me, we have been hearing about it, or you don't really know much about it. The 10-man concept is like a concept in which they are dribbling. It's a combination between three players, and you have to pass the ball to a certain player, but he has been blocked. So what happens now is that you use another player to then give the ball to him. So that was what was happening. In which, for example, in the first goal, I think, Felix passed the ball to Suarez, and all Suarez. Suarez then now played Lemar behind, and that created a chance for Lemar, which that was the first goal, and that was something we repeated. Carrasco playing the ball to Felix. All of the Barca defenders' attention on. We saw the similar thing before Suarez could make it 2-0. So overall, I think Atleti have been evolving in possession, and well, I don't know much about the Diego de position, but there are some concepts in which Atleti has been applying and which have been great. Like I said in the game, Atleti defended brilliantly, but there were moments in which Atleti's rest defense, well, I talked about rest defense last podcast. These are terminologies which are coming up, and it is technically was developed in Germany. And it is talking about how well you are able to stop counterattacks when you are attacking in the opposition final third. That is something that has been a problem for Atleti all season, in my opinion. It was evident against Getafe, it was evident against Alaves, it was even evident against Milan. But in that game against Barcelona, I think Atleti's rest defense was really great, given we attacked well, but we were also cautious. That means we set up brilliantly in such a way that if we lose the ball, we were able to win it back great. I think the game against Barcelona, that's Atleti's not only the best, but the most comfortable Atleti's performance. And that really says a lot about how Barcelona are at the moment.
Brilliant. Michael, who, in your opinion, were the best performers in that game?
Um, mean, I don't want to state the obvious too much, but I thought Lamar was just exceptional. I think there's a nice cyclical nature to the fact that he had this amazing performance in front of a full Wanda. And the last time the fans saw him at the Wanda, he was not at that level at all. So it's just kind of that massive contrast, and I think he was just so good in those little half spaces, you know, picking up the ball, one goal, one assist, two key passes. He's almost essential now to Atletico. He needs to start most games. I think the contrast with the Alaves game as well, where he didn't start and it was De Paul Llorente instead, was pretty stark. Of course, that's not a reflection of De Paul and Llorente. They're still very good players, but Lamar just adds something different in the sense that, you know, De Paul Llorente are very sort of physical players. He's just such a creative player who creates spaces so well, and he does link up the forwards quite well. I also thought Savic and Jimenez were really good at the back. I thought partly down to Barcelona having so much of the ball, but, you know, Jimenez and Savic were so assured at the back that it never really felt like there was any danger. And I think Emmanuel was right to pick up on the fact that this is probably Atletico's most complete performance, because, you know, I think against Alaves, Getafe, in Milan before the red card, there was so much just insecurity and just general anxiety. But throughout the game, Barcelona, they made 700 odd passes, had 70 odd percent of the ball, but it never felt like they were particularly threatened apart from one or two moments. But just generally, Atletico felt like they were in so much control. And I think that really lends itself to the fact that, you know, they have players like Lamar who's so productive when he's on the ball. He's quite direct, he doesn't really diver, which is a bit of a contrast to how he was when he came. So, and then when you've got assured defenders like Jimenez and Savic, who I think have been both excellent this season, Jimenez especially has managed to put behind most of his injury issues, and he started 6 games out of 8, which is pretty good for him. And then Savic as well, you know, anyone who watched Atletico last season knows how good he is. So it's no surprise that he started all 8 games. And against Barcelona, he was just really good, just really solid.
Yeah, it was a solid display from all the defenders. I think even Hermoso as well had a pretty good game on the left. Now, another player we should talk about is João Félix, who had an exceptional game as well. He didn't really have the numbers, he didn't score, didn't have any assist, but he was essential in both goals. He was part of the triangles Atletico created in attack. He was passing to Lamar, who found Suarez for the second goal, and of course, a great trick to take Araujo out of position, find Luis Suarez, who played a brilliant through ball to Lamar. Now, is this a sign of things to come for Felix? Do you think this we're starting to see the return of the best version of João, which we saw last season before his injury, Michael?
I hope so. I really hope so, because I think this was his first start of the season. He's only been featured in 3 other games. I think he's only played around 120 minutes. It still is early, but I thought he was just the player that Atletico thought they were going to get. You know, his link-up with Lamar and Suarez is so good, and he's just so intelligent. And he really, when he does start, I feel like, and when he's playing well, for all Correa and Griezmann are really good, and they're good in different aspects. I think Felix just adds a different dimension, and especially his link-up with Lamar was something we saw a bit last season. And I think, you know, if they can maintain that, and if Felix can maintain some fitness, then potentially we could see the best of him. But even if he does maintain his fitness, like, it's not like he won't start. It's just I can't see Griezmann and Correa just not playing. So, like, it's going to be it's just, there's just so many options almost at the moment. You know, only 3 players in Atletico squad have started all 8 games, which seems quite low. And the forwards, you know, you've got Cunha to compete, Correa, Griezmann, Suarez, you know, as much as they could play with 3 forwards, I still think Atletico's midfield is best served with 3 central midfielders. So, but most definitely, I think, you know, Felix, if he can get any sort of continuity, it's going to be really good, because he does make Atletico better, in my opinion.
Yeah. Now, Emmanuel, I mean, it was a very solid display from, I think, everyone who started the game. However, Carrasco continued his poor form. He wasn't really very decisive down the left-hand side, apart from that pass where he found Felix, who played a through ball to Suarez. And Llorente as well. While he did have a solid second half when Trippier came on, who I think had the his best match of the season so far, in the first half he was wasn't as decisive as he was last season. Let's put it that way. Do you think that's a worrying sign for Atletico at the moment?
Well, for Carrasco, I'm not too worried about him, given that. In fact, given his performances over the international break, I think with Carrasco, we see him at his best when he receives the ball facing the opponent. I think most of the games we have seen in which he has been poor has been due to the fact that he's receiving the ball with his back to the opponent. And he's not really good at maybe turning, but he likes to have that 1v1 situations in which he's able to beat the defender and get into the box and provide assists or give key passes. But this season, it has been difficult for him because he has been receiving the ball while backing the opponent, and opponents already know him, especially from how good he was last season. So when he's backing, they can become tight with him, but or the opponents are ganging up on him. I think we have rarely seen Carrasco have a 1v1 situation this season, but he's among the top 5 dribblers per 90 in La Liga. So I think with time, he's going to be at his best, given what I've seen at for the international break with Belgium. I think it all comes down to not having preseason. Kondomia spoke in his interview and said preseason made him to be fresh, and that is why he has had a good start to the season. I think the not having preseason has affected so many players' performances. Well, with Carrasco, I'm not so bothered that the season just started, and I'm hoping as the season goes on, we are going to see the best of him. And I'm sure this is something Cholo will rectify. And please also come into Felix. I think the reason why Felix had such a brilliant game against Barcelona was the fact that he was able to roam around freely, that like what we saw at the start of last season. So him able to do that was just fantastic. And like Michel said, he's not sure Felix is going to start many games. And I agree with him on that. And that is down to the fact that depending on how Cholo plans to approach a certain game, will depend on which of the four start. Will it be Correa, will it be Felix, or will it be Griezmann? So that will vary given according to our opponent.
Yeah, and I mean there are too many players to play in just two positions, and just one if you include Suarez, who will most likely start most games, and you can't really play much with that. And play, let's say, two of those players at the same time, because then you'll be taking one of the midfielders out. And we saw how that went against Espanyol and against Alaves. I think most people would say would have predicted that Atletico would have been more offensive in those games, but we saw nothing was working. There was just nothing moving through the midfield. It was a horrible mess, both of those games. Michael, is it fair to say that the lineup Simeone started against Barcelona is the best lineup to use moving on?
I think there should be no more. I don't, as much as like it makes sense to play with three players up front, so you have two players with Suarez, because they do have the options, and ideally you'd want Felix, Correa and Griezmann, like two of them to start together with Suarez. I just don't think it's that good, because I think there's just enough, there's no midfield there, and it often gets bypassed, and Atletico then kind of lose control. So I think Cholo definitely needs to stick with the 3-5-2, because obviously he had Koke, Depaul and Lamar in midfield against Barcelona, which is a lot more comfortable. I think for me, I'd be tempted to drop Llorente and give Trippier and Depaul a go, but also I'd be completely fine if you wanted to play Llorente and Trippier, because I think when Trippier's on, Llorente's a lot better. I'd definitely be starting Trippier at right back, or right wing back even. I just think he's had a bit of a rough start to the season. Things haven't gone as well, and he started 5 out of 8 games, which is not bad, but he was used to starting most games last season. But I think last game, like you said, Tara, I think he had a really good game. He came on 46th minute or something, and he was really encouraging. And I think it makes sense to start him against Granada, when Granada are going to sit off, and you want Trippier's link up with Llorente to break through the lines, and you want that. As far as the forwards go, I think it really depends on the opponent. I think, you know, someone like Suarez and Felix, I'd probably go again with for Granada, but I think against Liverpool, you'd want something maybe a bit different. Maybe you'd want Correa and Griezmann, a bit more legs. But I think really you've got to be sticking with a 3-5-2, in my opinion, because I think that's where Atletico look their best, and they look just the most comfortable. And even then, you know, I haven't even mentioned Jeffrey Kondogbia, who I think has been very good this season so far. And, you know, he could come into the side feasibly. It's just a bit of a minefield, really. I don't really envy Diego Simeone at all for this selection dilemma.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I mean, we have seen it before this season and last season that Atletico started the game with the 3-5-2 formation and then switching to 4-4-2 if things aren't going well, taking Hermoso out for Lodi and maybe subbing Kondogbia in to add more stability to the midfield. So yeah, like I said, there are just so many options. It is such a headache for Simeone, but it's very refreshing to see Atletico with this kind of depth. We haven't really seen it at all in recent seasons, have we?
No, I think it is very encouraging. And this is, we haven't even mentioned, you know, Hector Herrera, and you just mentioned Renan Lodi as someone who also offers something different as a kind of more conventional fullback. I'd still start Carrasco over him in the wingback role, but I think if you want to play 4-4-2, you've got to start Lodi. But yeah, no, it is really encouraging. I think, you know, Atletico's next 3 games, you've got Granada, Liverpool, then La Real. You know, that's 3 very different opponents. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see a completely different midfield 3 and front 2 in all those 3 games, because I think that Atletico can afford to do that. And it would make sense, because they're all different opponents and they all require different things. You know, Granada are going to sit off Atletico and try and restrict them. Ideally, you'd probably want Trippier and Llorente, you'd probably want Lamar and Carrasco, maybe you want Felix as well. Just to bulk up the creativity, then when you get to Liverpool, it's just a completely different dynamic. You know, Atletico aren't going to be dominating that game. They're going to be sitting off them. You know, I wouldn't really want Suarez in that position, him as the kind of lone striker. I'd want Griezmann and Correa, given their kind of pace and energy. And then La Real as well is a different dynamic to their team that have done very well in La Liga this season. You know, they're third. They've only lost 1 game. They're just a really comfortable team who like to keep the ball, but sometimes they're willing to play without it. So I think those 3 games are all different challenges, and it really is encouraging, like you said, that Atletico have these options and they can afford to play different systems and different midfield dynamo duos and midfield trios and the forward trios, and which is encouraging. Hopefully we'll get 3 wins, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm fingers crossed. It remains to be seen if the Granada game will be suspended, like what happened with Sevilla and Barca, since the players are returning from the international duty. Now, Emmanuel, let's talk about the struggles we have mentioned a lot in recent episodes. Against Milan, even though the start of the game was very poor, we did see a lot of improvement after the red card, obviously. And in the second half, there were some very encouraging signs. And against Barca, I think it was an exceptional game. Do you think Simeone has finally found the solution to those problems?
Well, I don't think all Simeone has done that well. I'm saying so because Barca's current state is, to be honest, really bad, because they are one of the worst teams at the moment to defend in counter-attacking situation, and all of Atleti goals came from such a situation. Also, I think Atleti struggled a lot in that Barca game to deal with the runs of Frankie de Jong. And I'm sure that was something they would have practiced before the game. But they struggled so much dealing with the run because the amount of penalty entries Barcelona had in that game were from Frankie de Jong's runs or the dangerous moments they had. So I'm thinking of Liverpool and I'm thinking of Real Sociedad, and I'm thinking of Oyarzabal, I'm thinking of Salah, I'm thinking of Mane, and I'm thinking Xavi struggled a lot on the right with Llorente as a wing back, and I hope Cholo doesn't go with that. And I'm thinking the midfielders were not tracking the runners, or the centre backs were not moving along with those who running. So I'm really kind of not sure, and I'm not taking so much from that Barcelona game. Well, there are positives to take from it, like Felix's performance, the link up in the attack, and all that. But I think defending wise, Barcelona did not really test us enough, and the time in which they were able to test us, we really struggled. To be honest, if Barcelona were just had that cutting edge in that final third, and I'm very sure they would have punished Atleti from one of those Frankie de Jong's runs into the box. So I'm not really that confident in saying going to a Liverpool game where it's Atleti and I'm backing my team to win. But given from the mistakes, I don't think the mistakes are all and all gone. And I think those mistakes are still there. I'm saying so because the individual errors, we saw that from Hermoso, in which almost gave Coutinho a chance. Thank God for Oblak. And with lapse in concentration, that was evident from Savic in that game. I'm saying so because when I watched the game the first time, I was looking at the negative because it was a very positive game. But looking at it again, they were positive for me. So I'm still thinking, like I talk about our rest defense, I think we are still liable to counter-attacks. I think we are not so good on possession. I'm saying so because the first goal wouldn't have happened without him also. So I'm thinking against La Real and against Liverpool, which are not going to have so much of the ball, we will need Hermoso to start because he may not be the best defender, but what he offers on the ball is so great to the team. And it was so evident last season, and it was evident in that game against Barcelona. So I think the Barca game just, what I would say is, put tape on our cracks in the team, but it's not applied glue to it. So I still have my doubts, and maybe the game against Granada, which will be a deep block because we have struggled against deep block this season, to the hole, or maybe against Liverpool, dealing with corner runners, or we don't have a lot of time on the ball. So I think the next three games will really say a lot about the progress we have made. But having so many of the players not on international duty, like Lima, Felix, and Kondombia, I'm really happy because it gives Cholo time to work with them. And I think I also agree on Mitchell on the fact that I will not want somebody like Suarez against Liverpool, to be honest, because I think we all know Liverpool are going to dominate position, and each best chance is going to come on the counter. And Suarez link up at the moment has not been great. So I think going for someone like Griezmann, I'm hoping he shows up like a striker. And that means the movement, not giving the centre-backs people to mark, will be evident. So to be honest, I'm still sceptical of Atleti this season. They have been good, and we have seen the worst and best and worst of Atleti this season. So I think with some games, like maybe the next three opponents who are tough, or maybe especially Real Sociedad and Liverpool, I think that may clear out my mind a bit. But that's not me saying that our performance against Barcelona was luck or was bad. No, we did well against Barcelona, but it was Barcelona.
You did say we need Hermoso at the top of his game against Liverpool. He will definitely start. Let's get that out of the way, since Savic is obviously suspended for both games, and Jimenez is a doubt for the game against Liverpool since he picked up an injury with Uruguay. So it remains to be seen what Simeone will go for against Liverpool. But maybe a 4-4-2 formation with Felipe and Hermoso at the back, depending on Jimenez, how long he's out for. Michael, would you like to add anything to what Emmanuel just said?
No, I think Emmanuel covered everything pretty well there. I think you definitely want Hermoso starting. I think he's just so key to Atletico, and he is just a really good player, and he's just almost perfect left-sided centre-back. He can bring the ball out both carrying it and passing it, and it just makes sense to have him, given his you know, his potential line-breaking passes, which are going to be very important against Granada, Liverpool and La Real for all reasons, if the Granada game goes ahead. And, yeah, I think it might be interesting to see if maybe against Liverpool, Kondogbia starts. Maybe he's the kind of more of like, maybe you have Kondogbia, Koke and Lamar play a bit more conservative, maybe, but we'll see, I guess. Don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that.
Well, I'm for Kondogbia starting. Well, against Liverpool, we know we are going to be chasing the ball, and having Kondogbia is great. I'm saying so because he has been booked a lot, and for silly fouls, but he has the engine. Like he said in his interview this weekend, he's ready to help the team at any moment, and I'm sure he's amongst the most fit players in the team. So having him against Liverpool, he's fit, concentration is great, and though his ball exit, that means him switching play, has been improved this season, but if he can do that faster against Liverpool, then I think, to be honest, I'm maybe sensing him having a very good performance against Liverpool, given his stats and place as the anchor in midfield.
Okay, so I do agree. Kondogbia is essential when Atletico are trying to defend. He's by far the midfielder that covers best for the defenders, and he's definitely I think the best option to have if you're scared of the midfield being run off, which could very much happen against Liverpool with their pressing. So we can't really rely on Koke, you know, being the defensive midfielder, I don't think, in that game. So, I agree with Manuel. I would start Kondogbia. So that covers the midfield competition, and we did talk about the preferred lineup going forward. Emmanuel, against Liverpool, which would you prefer, going with a 3-5-2 formation or a 4-4-2?
Well, I think I will go with the 3-5-2. I'm saying so because I'm expecting Carrasco to be a threat in that game. I'm watching Liverpool's game against Man City, or their games, their previous games. I noticed that City targeted Liverpool's right-hand side a lot, and that was because of Trent. In the previous game, it was Milner that was there, but there was nothing much different. Liverpool kind of overloaded. That means overcrowded. City overcrowded Liverpool's right-hand side, and it caused a lot of damage. And with Foden, Grealish, they caused a lot of damage to Liverpool. I'm guessing against Atleti, in which we are going to be defending deep, Klopp isn't going to play Milner, but play Trent, if given his feet, because he's going to need Trent's creative passing from deep areas or from wide areas. So I'm expecting us now to exploit that space behind Trent. Or Carrasco is very good in 1v1 situations, so I'm expecting us to have 1v1 situations against Trent, and I'm sure Carrasco is going to have a very good time playing against him if such situations arise. So I'm choosing the 3-5-2 because Liverpool's right-hand side seems to be weak. And also, I go for 3-5-2 because I would like to have Korea and Griezmann up top, given both have that energy to make runs. And against City, Brentford, Liverpool did not do well tracking runners. That means the midfielders were not tracking runners, something a little struggle to do against Barcelona. So I'm expecting us to use that to advantage. I mean, Griezmann, his movement into the box, Korea has shown that he's not only a ball-to-feed player, but he's also one willing to make a run. So I'm expecting those players to make those runs, and I'm just saying so because I want Llorente to be in that midfield with Trippier and him making those runs, and those Liverpool midfielders listening and maybe not tracking him back, and we know what is going to happen. So I watched Liverpool games, and those were the two weaknesses in which I saw in their game, given that they don't track runners and their right-hand side seem to be the weakest at the moment. But it's not going to be easy because we are going to have Salah. So I'm expecting Hermoso to really do a lot. And he's athletic, but he will need to be more physical because Salah is at the top of his game and he's one of the most physical forwards in the moment. So it will not be an easy game, but I choose the 3-5-2. But I'm saying so because I don't trust either of Hermoso and Felipe playing a back two. where we have not seen much of that before. I can't recall, but I don't think we have seen that. So I would think of the 3-5-2, given hopefully Sarr Giménez will be ready, but if he's not ready, then I think I'm not sure if Vichy's suspension is over. But if it's over, then the 3-5-2 for me. And in the midfield, Kondombia, Koke, Llorente. I know the ball will bring much, but him, he can impact the game as a substitute. Sorry, excuse me. Kondombia, we have Llorente, and we have Koke. Well, or maybe Lema. Given Koke is going to be playing in the final today, and you play lots of international games. But having Koke on the pitch is great for Atleti's discipline. But him or Lema, in my opinion, I just want Llorente to be there because his off the ball runs are going to cause a lot of problems for Liverpool. And like we have seen this season, when it has clicked, it affects the opposition, be it when you are defending a high line, when you are defending a deep block. So no matter how you defend mid-block, that connection causes lots of damage to the opposition. And especially given that we are going to be counter-attacking against Liverpool. So it's really tough. Like Michel said, he doesn't want to be in Cholo's shoes. And I just writing the line up down, I'm checking it, and I'm a little bit confused. But to be honest, I want the 3-5-2, and I want Llorente and Trippier to be starters, and Carrasco too. Because we're using those guys, we can exploit Liverpool's weakness, and we can have a good result against Liverpool.
I think Emmanuel's just said everything that I wanted to say, basically. I think it's perfect to have Carrasco. You think you want the 3-5-2 to get the best out of him. You want Carrasco to play high and wide to really pin Trent back, also because then Trent won't be able to go forward as much, and he is a massive creative and ball progressive player for Liverpool. And I think, you know, you want him to be pushing Trent back to get beyond him, making runs beyond him, trying to get him one-on-one, which is what you where you want Carrasco. You want him on that left wing, cutting inside or going to the byline, just sort of causing a nuisance, basically. And I think the call to have Correa and Griezmann makes perfect sense as well. You know, these are two players who they can push high and wide, they can play for each other, they've got a good connection already, they've got a good relationship from before. Obviously, it's a fair while ago, but I don't see why they can't build something up again. And I think they're the perfect players to push back Liverpool's high line, which ultimately creates space for players like Llorente, who, you know, you want him linking up with Trippier, which makes sense. And then that space comes from Correa and Griezmann really pushing Liverpool's line and, you know, pulling them around. You know, they don't, Atletico don't have to have a lot of the ball to still manipulate Liverpool's back line. They can just, as long as they've got willing runners who are willing to run beyond Liverpool's defence and push the fullbacks back and keep the fullbacks pinned back, which is going to be quite key as well, because, you know, a lot does go through the wings of Liverpool. I'm not going to say I'm confident, but there's no reason why Atletico can't get a result if they're going to do something like that, in my opinion. It's going to be hard,
yeah.
But I think that's the best mode of action, I guess.
Yeah. Well, like, Michel, I think you have what you just added is like you just added spice to what I said, and it's very true. Because Liverpool will be normally wary of the threat Correa and, Carrasco and Llorente and Trippier possesses on the wing. So I think Salah and Mane will be taxed to come help defensively. Well, both are athletic, but I think Mane does a very good job defensively more than Salah. So I think that will force them not to really commit a lot forward and, like you said, push their lines a little bit deep. So it's deeper. So, but what you just said is okay, and that means we have to do a lot from our midfielders. The reason why I think I was going with Lemar was because he's dynamic. He helps offensively and defensively. He's at the moment, while he just tactically, I don't want to say Xavi, but he has that tactical understanding of the game, in which on the ball, he knows where to be, what to do. He adjusts the other players' positions, and of it, he's able. I think if you have watched the games in which he has played, especially that of Villarreal, Carrasco has made a run up the pitch and Alicia has lost the ball. He intelligently covers for Carrasco, and as Carrasco is gradually coming back, he's shifting back into the. I just think having him is a positive. So, to my opinion, if you can have him and Llorente as the interior midfielders, I think we possess a lot of threat. But that, and to be honest, both have very good work rates. I know last season, Koke was the one who played as the anchor, but I think having Kondombia in that game. Well, I know Koke is very important and a little depend on him, but to be honest, in that game, I see one of Koke's biggest fans, but I've been thinking, not having him in the game, that means him not starting, I don't really think it's a bad idea for Aliti. Well, we know about the discipline issue, but looking at it tactically, well, I'm not expert, but I've just been looking at it from my own point of view, and I'm saying, having Lema, Llorente, Carrasco, that means we have players who are good offensively, but they also have that willingness and that tactical understanding to defend. I mean, they don't just run and defend in numbers, but they run intelligently, covering space. So it is really difficult, but well, let's see how Cholo goes. He always surprises us.
Okay. Michael, in light of the Jimenez injury, what would you think of Kondogbia starting in a three at the back with Hermoso and Felipe?
It doesn't really fill me with confidence. I think, you know, we've seen with, like, when Llorente sometimes plays right wing back, and it's the same with Valverde for Real Madrid, is like they're capable defenders, and Kondogbia is the same, but they're not used to defending in that position. Like defending from a right fullback or from a centre back is quite different to defending from the midfield. So I think while Kondogbia has the skills in terms of, you know, his basic athleticism, his physicality, he's comfortable on the ball, he can bring the ball, he can do that role that kind of Savage and him as I kind of grown to do, I think that I'd still be a bit nervous about his kind of defensive. Like, I'm not saying he's a bad defender, it's just he's not used to playing from a centre back role. And it is like different to defending from midfield. But it really depends on the opponent. I think against Liverpool, it'd be a bit nervous. I just hope that Jimenez is okay, because I think he's been very good this season so far. And I think I saw something on Twitter, like his dual win rate or something was like the highest in the whole league, something ridiculous, like 85%, which is just extraordinary considering, you know, he still played six games over 500 minutes, and I think he'll be a huge loss for Kondogbia. But yeah, to cut it short, I think Kondogbia, yes, he has the skills to do the role. It's just, I'd be nervous about how he's just not used to it at like a top flight level, in my opinion.
Yeah, he only played there for one game this mm-hmm. season, he did well, but I think with Savic and Jimenez out, I'd be nervous about any defense we have, starting with four at the back, with maybe Lodi, Hermoso, Felipe, and Trippier. That seems just as shaky to me, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I think Savage was just so good last season, and he's really continued that. He's played every single minute in the league so far, and it shows, you know, he really does make a huge difference. And he's got a good relationship with Trippier as well defensively. They both seem to be pretty switched on. You can tell when, like you said, Tara, earlier, when Trippier doesn't start, Savage is a little bit less confident. And same with Jimenez, he's been exceptional so far. And I think a back four of Lodi, Felipe, Hermoso, and Trippier does not fill me with confidence either, but you never know. You never know.
Well, I think, well, I've been listening to Cholo's talk on with Deboski just before we recorded the podcast. And I think, well, system matters, but we can still start with a back four, but the rules of the players may change. We may start with a back four, but we defend with a back six. So I think systematically, at the moment, the best systems that goes with what we are agreeing on playing against Liverpool is the 3-5-2. But well, there can be other systems in which we can still bring out the best of Llorente, Trippier, and also have Carrasco out wide.
We have received a question from Bert asking what are your thoughts on the midfield competition and who deserves a starting role in a three-man midfield. Michael, what do you think?
I'll be brief because I kind of inadvertently answered this question earlier. But starting midfield, I guess, for me, it's still, in an ideal situation, it's still Koke, Llorente, and Lamar. I think team-dependent, you could see Depaul coming in for Llorente, and then Llorente at wing-back, or you could see Kondogbia playing in the pivot. Other than that, I'm trying to think of other options you could play that, heck, you know, Herrera, I just don't think is pretty far away from the starting lineup right now. I don't think I'd think about starting him. So for me, it's the three from last season, really, who I think, who have such a good understanding of each other.
Emmanuel, what do you think?
Well, I will agree with Michel on that. I think, well, I know our performance against Barca was one of the best, but Atleti's best performance this season, in my opinion, is that first half against Villarreal, in which we saw the team from last season. Suarez and Correa, Carrasco as a wing-back, Trippier, Llorente, Lemar, Koke, Xavi, Jimenez and Hermoso Oblak. So I think Atleti's best three is what Michel just said, our three of last season. because I think I just also said something similar to the Liverpool game. Lemar's the tactical understanding and the willingness to track back and also offer a lot on the ball. Llorente has that energy despite not having the same maybe tactical awareness as Lemar while tracking back. But I think that is the best thing at the moment because having those two players helping Koke defensively and Koke's ability to dictate the game from deep is offers a lot. So at the moment, that's it. Even though we have other players like Michel just said, Herrera, Colombia, and Rodrigo de Paul. So the midfield three from last season is what I go with.
Perfect. Now, I do agree with that, but I do think if Llorente, I don't think we've seen the best version of him so far this season. So I would be in favor of maybe starting De Paul or Kondogbia in his place, depending on the match. They have, I think, in my opinion, played overall better than Llorente. But I'm sure Llorente will improve as the season progresses. And I mean, it will depend on the opponent. But for my money, I would go for De Paul at the moment ahead of Llorente. Now, we have another question, and it's about the transfer market. We saw Atletico were trying to sign Dusan Vlahovic in the summer. They ultimately failed, and Fiorentina were confident that they will be able to get him to renew his contract. But their owner stated a few days ago that their renewal talks have collapsed, and he will be in the final year of his contract this summer. So he would be open to selling him in January. Michael, do you think it'd be wise to go for him in the winter transfer window, or do you think Atletico should try to do it in the summer?
A lot of this is fee dependent. I think that when they were looking at him over summer, was it not something like 70 million euros or something, which is a lot of money? And like was popularly noted, while Atletico do lack another number nine, they definitely don't lack forwards. So maybe you'd question whether, you know, maybe not sell Cunha because he's only just come here, but like you'd want to sell one of the second strikers before you got another forward almost, because it then just be so top heavy. But I think Atletico do need another number nine, because it can't just be Suarez leading the line. And like we've already kind of mentioned in passing earlier, his limitations when Atletico haven't got the ball and his link up play hasn't been that great this season. He's very much kind of just a penalty box striker at this point, which isn't a bad thing. It's just the way he is. But for me, I'd be holding off until the summer, I think, because there isn't going to be a huge rush for clubs to buy heavy in the winter, I think they'd be want to assess their options and see how much money they got for the summer. So I don't think there'll be like a bidding war for Vlahovic, but I guess we'd see. I mean, I'm definitely not against it. It's just, I completely recognise why people want him. You know, Atletico do need another number nine, but it's just another forward, which Atletico don't need. But it's difficult, because if he is on a good deal, then you can't really say no. You know, what happens next summer? Does Suarez leave and Vlahovic takes his place? That seems like a pretty good deal to me. I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on this.
I mean, I definitely want Vlahovic. He's a 21-year-old who just scored 21 goals in Serie A last season, and he's off to a good start this season as well. Now, as you have said, Atletico have just too many forwards, and you know, getting another one would only, you know. I mean, more depth, of course, but there is a point where it becomes a bigger problem than it is a blessing, with the players maybe unhappy on the bench and It's tough to keep these players happy without a lot of playing time. If Simeone is thinking of maybe resting Suarez a bit more, as you have mentioned, he's like 35 this January, so it would be wise if Atletico are trying maybe to prolong his career and give him another contract for 1 or 2 years, which is what they're rumored to be planning at the moment. It would be very wise to have another number nine, and Vlahovic, I think, is as good an option as any, mm-hmm. with you know, considering his age and his skills. But then you would question the signing of Cunha and maybe Griezmann as well. It remains to be seen what happens. I think if Suarez renews his contract and Atletico go for Vlahovic, then maybe Atletico will not use their option to sign Griezmann. We'll have to see. Atletico do have the entire season to see how Vlahovic performs and how Griezmann does. And obviously he's a favorite for Cholo, so we'll just have to wait and see, I guess. Emmanuel, what do you think of that?
Well, to be honest, I go with Michel in saying the only way Atletico brings another striker is if one of the second strikers leave. And the most probably option at the moment is Cunha. And signing Griezmann really made the Cunha deal to really look like it was an unnecessary deal. So it's really hard to tell. To be honest, I don't know much about Vlahovic. I've read about him and watched some tactical analysis on him, but I'm not really his greatest fan. I know many Atleti fans like him. Those who have watched him know more than I do. But I'm not really a fan of him. To be honest, if Atleti are willing to spend that much on him, to be honest, well, I'm a fan of Isak. Isak knows the league. Isak can offer what I think that is Atleti need at the moment. So, in my opinion, I wouldn't mind maybe, well, it is harsh on Cunha, to be very honest, but swapping or maybe not going for the Griezmann deal, and then we go for Isak instead. But it seems Vlahovic is the player the team wants. If it's Vlahovic, well, I've never been opposed to Atleti signing a player. I will always see them come and prove on the field. But I'm not really, from my tone, I think you can guess that I'm not really a fan of the deal. Maybe we wait until the winter and see what happens with Suarez and the rest. But to be honest, we need two strikers. And if Suarez leaves, that means we need another. But the way we did business this season is not really looking great, given that we end up with so many secondary strikers. I think 4 players for one position is not really great, or 4 players who are very similar. But it all depends, because I keep on saying I'm hoping Cholo can mold Cunha into what Firmino is at Liverpool at the moment. So if we have something like that, that would be great, given Suarez may leave. And as Suarez is leaving, we have Cunha now as another option for a striker, and then we can then go for Vlahovic. But it doesn't really make a lot of sense, to be honest. We started the transfer window, this transfer window great with the signing of Depol and the rest, but the Cunha, I wasn't really a fan of it, or signing him, but I'm not saying I will not support him. Then also the Griezmann, which I'm not also a fan of. So I think it's not in the transfer window well, in my opinion. So that has really left us in a tight situation. That means we had so many cards to play, but at the moment, it seems we have to be very careful now with our move, because a wrong move might really jeopardize things.
Okay. I think you have mentioned Isak, but I think Real Sociedad wouldn't be very open to selling him, and he has a high release clause. I think just renewed his contract this summer, I don't think it's possible to go for him. As for Vlahovic, he will be in the final year of his contract, so I could see his price dropping a little, something like 50 or 60 million, which definitely isn't you know, a low price, but at the same time, it isn't as big a gamble as maybe 70 or 80 million. And for a striker his age, I think it'd be worth it for in the long run. So we'll just have to see what happens from now until the end of the season. But I think we can all agree that we're in no rush to get him in January. We can wait until this summer to get another player. There are, I think, other positions which need addressing more than this one. Maybe signing a defender or a right back to add depth to that position. So, I'd be in favor of that one instead. So that brings us to the end of today's episode. Michael, thank you so very much for coming today. It was a blast having you.
Thank you very much, guys. It's been a pleasure talking to you guys.
And Emmanuel, as ever, thank you so much for coming.
Well, it's always been a pleasure discussing you, Atta, and also now today discussing with Michel, which I was expecting him to say Suarez has fought against all the oppositions he has faced in La Liga, which is 31, and give us some stats, but no problem. So if you are not following him, guys, do follow him at Spanish Analytics on Twitter.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I can second that. One of the best accounts around on Twitter, and one of the nicest guys around as well. So go follow him. We will mention him on the tweet. And thanks so much for coming. And thank you for listening to today's episode. See you next week.
Derrochando coraje y corazón. Siempre la afición se estremece con pasión cuando quedas entre todos campeón. Y se ve frente al balón a un equipo de verdad que esta tarde de ambiente llenará. Yo me voy al Manzanares, al estadio Vicente Calderón, donde acuden a millares los que gustan de un fútbol de emoción, porque luchan como hermanos defendiendo sus colores con un fuego noble y sano, derrochando coraje y corazón. Siempre la afición se estremece con pasión cuando quedas entre todos campeón. Y se ve frente al balón a un equipo de verdad esta tarde de ambiente.